that the interest of the public is their number one priority, but they are doing this in very selfish motives.
A majority of the public does not agree with that position, by the way. And this is something that should be an election issue, but will not be a broad election issue. Whoever comes in next as president can fire James Comey, can change the attitude at the Justice Department, could convince Congress to reconsider legislation that the Senate introduced today that would basically give the government the authority to compel Apple and any other device maker to hand over data in what the bill calls, quote, an intelligible format, as well as to design their devices so that they are able to extract that data. Meaning that Apple, Samsung, anybody who makes your cell phone, Hewlett Packard, anybody who makes your PC would have access to a back door. Mm-hmm. That they could be forced to open by the government. This is not what technology consumers are looking for. This is not what technology consumers are asking.
Not what we signed up for, yeah.
And this is not, and I heard the argument again today on the page when I shared this story, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. If you don't have anything to hide, you don't have anything to worry about, that's not the issue. I'm glad you are a law-abiding citizen. I'm glad you don't have anything on your phone that could come back to haunt you. This isn't about that. This is about giving the government the ability to continually monitor everything that we do. Or giving any corporation the ability to continually monitor everything that we do.
No one absolutely.
That is not a power that anyone other than you should have.
And the government was never made to have that power.
No, but government wants it.
We talk about, Derek, you have nothing on your phone that you can hide that could, you know, get you in trouble for a crime or whatnot. But what do you have on your phone? Who do you communicate with that maybe down the line somebody doesn't like? Something in your health records, they find those out. Are you going to get your insurance canceled because of that? A certain medication because you have CVS on your phone as an app? So they can see the prescriptions that you have. It's a good question.
They would find my phone incredibly boring. And I am one of these people that has nothing to... I have nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all to hide. There is nothing on my phone that anyone would look at and be like, oh, look, this guy broke this law, broke that law, and broke the other law. No. Any laws that I break, I talk about right here on the air. I speed. I don't wear my seatbelt. I buy illegal fireworks and set them off on the 4th of July. Generally speaking, nice. I am a law-abiding person other than that. Okay? But I'm not worried about the government getting into my cell phone and discovering some secret that will throw me in jail. I just don't want them in there. And I have a constitutional right that prevents them from getting in there. And it is the responsibility of the people to defend their constitutional rights against the encroachment of government. Whether you think you need it or not, whether you think it's necessary or not, whether you have something to hide or not, you have a responsibility as an American citizen to defend your rights against the government. If you don't, you may as well tear up the Constitution and throw it out the door, because there are plenty of people in Washington that would love to do just that. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, you can find somebody who would love to see First Amendment right to free speech taken away, right of unlawful search and seizure taken away, woman's right to do woman's right to do what she wants with her body taken away. There are people who would do this. And the only thing that stands between them and doing that is our Constitution as defended by the people of the United States. So if your argument is, if I got nothing to hide, I got nothing to worry about, great. That's not the argument. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not you believe,
right or wrong,
we have a fundamental human right to privacy. And if you believe that, then you need to make your voice heard. Stand up and be on the right side of this issue. I don't often tell people what to think. When it comes to that one, I have to. What do we got? WMFO Medford. I have to say that again to keep the FCC off our backs. And that should be... that.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your five-day forecast for the Boston area. Partly cloudy tonight. Temperatures is falling into the upper 30s. Have fun at Fenway. Hope you brought a parka. Tomorrow, we will struggle to get to 50, and the temperature falls back into the upper 30s tomorrow night. Sunny skies. Friday, same deal. Sunny skies, tad bit warmer, mid-50s. Saturday, the clouds return. Not so much the rain, though. We'll get into the lower 50s. Temperatures fall back into the upper 30s again on Saturday night. And then on Sunday... starts being a little more like spring.
A little warm, right?
Sunny, 60. Temperature like back it. In the 40s Sunday night. And then Monday, we're going to flirt with 70.
But, perfect day for the marathon.
But you're going to see some afternoon showers. So, good day. If you got Patriots
go
Day off.
Go out in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got Patriots Day off, it should be a good day to go out and enjoy the Boston Marathon. Maybe enjoy some baseball. Maybe just enjoy security guards and being stuck in traffic because you went to Boston on Patriots Day.
Yeah. Remember, take the tea. Give yourself enough time.
No, remember, stay
and be,
out of...
And be nice.
Unless you're running, stay out of Boston on Monday.
Don't listen to Derek.
Just don't go.
Do not listen to Derek.
Just don't go, and you'll have a much more enjoyable Patriots Day. Or you could do what I'm doing and go to work. Because you don't got it all. When we come back, it is going to be, did you hear some other prominent stories in the news that Lisa completely missed, or that I completely missed, right here on WMFO Medford.
Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with some tips on buying meat for economy and value. You can be sure you're getting both if you use the USDA quality grades Prime, Choice, and Good as your guide. When you see USDA Prime stamped on a piece of meat, you'll know you're getting the top quality. Of course, it'll probably be the most expensive. Choice is the grade you'll see in most stores, and it's almost as high in quality. Although good grade is not as juicy and flavorful as the higher grades, it's somewhat more lean and acceptably tender. It's often a good buy for the thrifty shopper. For more free information on meat quality, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250. That's How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and we are here with you every Wednesday. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800.
Gotta give Gladys Knight her propers. You just gotta. Gladys Knight and the Pips, man. Awesome.
Well, that music means it's time for Did You Hear? It's that part of the show where Derek and I go back and forth, where we give each other one word or two word answers, can be a name of a person, and we have to tell you, the listener, but tell each other what the story was about, because we like games, and we like to be competitive and prove each other smarter.
Play along at home and find out just how better informed you are than we are sometimes.
All right, I'm going to start. Waterboarding.
It's fun. Everybody enjoys waterboarding. God, I saw this the other day. And you know what's throwing me is I was watching W on Showtime the other night, and there's that whole scene with him and Richard Dreyfuss having lunch. Josh Brolin, by the way, is great in that movie. Waterboarding. It came up. Someone would not rule out using it under... Oh, the American people would not rule out using it. It turns out that a majority of the American people actually support using enhanced interrogation to get information out of suspects. Yes.
I was talking about... Your man and ours. Donald Trump actually took on CIA Director John Brennan. Cruz also came out, but basically Brennan was saying allowing waterboarding is ridiculous. He said this on Sunday. He would not allow this kind of interrogation tactics. And Donald Trump came out and said, quote, can you imagine these ISIS people sitting around and eating and talking about how this country won't allow waterboarding when they just chopped off 50 heads?
Yeah.
So that was all over your news about how insensitive Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are for allowing waterboarding.
Hey, when the whole Abu Ghraib and waterboarding thing first came out, and I think this was more in response to waterboarding than anything else, my feeling on it then, and remains the same now, is if Americans will pay a stripper to do it to them, it's not really torture.
Yeah.
And there are Americans paying strippers to waterboard them.
Really?
Yes.
That's probably some strange, strange fantasy that I don't know about.
It's a thing. You can go down to New York or go to Seattle or probably most of our other major cities and pay someone to waterboard.
Is that like a Pornhub category?
I don't know if it's a Pornhub category.
Probably.
Or not. Let's see. This was a big one yesterday. Stephen Hawking.
Ooh. I feel like he can't. Oh my God, I remember reading the story. I have no idea what it was, but it was so quick.
Stephen Hawking and Russian billionaire held a press conference yesterday to announce that they will invest $100 million to start a company that will create tiny spacecraft that will be hurtled at 20% of the speed of light toward Alpha Centauri on laser beams, making them the first interstellar probes launched by the human race. And then the Alpha Centaurians will show up, make us their pets, and that will be the end of human autonomy as we know it.
Sean Parker.
I just saw this one today. Sean Parker is investing money in something... What is he? Oh my God, I just read this a few hours ago. Sean Parker is investing. I don't know what he's investing in.
So we know him. He created Napster, yes. But he's also the founder, the founding president of Facebook. He is donating $250 million to cancer immunotherapy funding.
That's it. He's taken up Barack Obama's mantle of let's let this be the next space shot, and is throwing a big pile of money.
Lots of money.
Into cancer research.
Which is amazing that, you know, you have these people that have money that they will never, ever spend in a lifetime and actually using it for good.
He doesn't even deserve that money. He gets like 2% of everything they make because he told Zuckerberg to drop the. That's it. He never...
If you've seen the movie...
See The Social Network. It's all pretty
learn
true.
You the whole story.
Yeah, Sean Parker.
Played by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What do you got? So we are... No. So we're still 0-0. Yeah,
still 0-0. We'll stay on health. Robert De Niro.
You know what? I didn't even see this one.
This one was all over the place today.
Today?
Yeah. Today is a big clue in this one.
Today's Wednesday.
No, today.
Today.
Not the day, today. I'm giving you a huge hint on this.
That's not helping.
It was everywhere.
You know what? I honestly don't remember seeing a story with Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro appeared on the Today Show this morning and made headlines defending the anti-vaxxer film that got kicked out of the Tribeca Film Festival, basically outing himself during the interview as a skeptic on vaccinations and generating tremendous amounts of ire.
Skeptic in the sense of he doesn't believes that they can, you know, cause...
When pressed by Savannah Guthrie, he said that there was a conspiracy afoot to keep information out of the hands of the American public, infuriating scientists, researchers, and doctors from coast to coast.
Mm. Not Hollywood.
Not one of Mr. De Niro's finer drinking moments. Now, he does have an autistic son, so he's got skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And people,
so now I can understand where that...
People understand where it comes from, but really the whole anti-vax thing has...
Well, no, and especially, I mean, when you are learning about, you know, autism, and especially having an autistic son or daughter, I'm sure there's a lot of information that you are being fed about how the causes could come from it, because it's essentially you want to understand that it's not you. It's nothing that you can help.
Right.
And a lot of people are pushing this memo of, well, it's the foods we eat. It's what we're vaccinating ourselves with. BP time.
That wasn't, no, it was CP time.
CP time. CP time, yes.
The fact that I corrected you should tell you that that was part of a skit,
air quote skit.
Humorous aside crafted by one Bill de Blasio and one Hillary Clinton at a rally in New York on Saturday night, I believe.
It was at the Inner Circle dinner.
Where somebody showed up late and they said, and Bill de Blasio accused Hillary Clinton of being on CP time, also known as colored people time.
Yeah, so this is an annual black tie event. It basically is bringing together press corps, lawmakers, lobbyists, right in Hillary's wheelhouse. Now, Hillary had said, thank you, Bill, for your endorsement. It took long enough. And he returned and says, I'm sorry, Hillary. I'm on CP time. Where if you hear the back and forth, you can hear the audible groan inside coming from the audience.
Really what you need is someone in the back of the room shouting out, oh no, he didn't. You really need someone. I need that in every one of these videos. Mm-hmm. Because if you've got the groan and then perfectly timed someone at the end of it, oh no, he didn't.
Girl.
Yeah, it's like, de Blasio, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, and then they turned it into a joke where Hillary Clinton said, no, that means cautious politician time.
Hillary.
What? Aren't you the husband of America's first black president? Don't you know that you can't say that?
Yeah. Not smart.
Not good. Not when you're already spinning damage control over things that you said 20 years ago about how black people were ruining America and all had to be thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simplifying what she said, but that was kind of the gist of it.
We love them.
All right. I'm going to be disappointed if you don't get this one. Russian war plans.
You also want to understand, I was very sick the past few days. Russian war planes, are they flying over? Was this the story where, again in Syria, flying over? Or Turkey?
No.
Russian war planes.
This is the number one story on the nightly news tonight.
Tonight?
Yes. It's been the headline in every news outlet today.
Yeah, it's really bad this week.
Ooh, wow.
I've actually been dead for 3 days.
That's true.
Know that. And I'm so lucky that I have partial voice back, considering how you saw me on Sunday night.
Because Sunday night you were
dead.
You were struggling.
Actually,
yeah.
Dead.
But I figured you would have stumbled on this when you were doing research for tonight's show, because this actually came out midday and on. The USS Donald Cook has been attempting to conduct some military drills with the Polish Air Force using a helicopter in the middle of the Baltic Sea, and they have been continually harassed by Russian warplanes. There have been 30-plus flyovers in the last 2 days, the closest of which was reported by someone on board the ship as a distance of less than 30 feet between the warplane and the ship.
Yeah, I don't... 30 feet in warplane doesn't sound like a good time.
And one defense official described what was happening as strafing runs. So we're out there trying to do what we're trying to do, and these Russian warplanes are coming in like they're going to blow the ship out of the water. The U.S. has announced late today that it would file a formal diplomatic complaint with Russia, which we haven't done in a while. So there's a lot of this sort of nonsense that goes on back and forth with, you know, people pushing boundaries and stuff like this. But this was 2 days of constant harassment. And basically Russia saying, get out of the Baltic Sea. We don't want you here. And they're in international waters, so they have a right to be there. And the United States is saying, guys, this one isn't funny.
But also Russia does what they want.
Yeah, this is not going to escalate into World War III for anybody who's trying to convince you of that. But it's going to create some tension between the U.S. and the Russians.
All right, Derek. Bomb threats.
Bomb threats. I saw a few stories about bomb threats, and I'm trying to remember.
Should I say robocall bomb threats?
Oh, no. I didn't catch that detail on any of them.
Now, that was on Monday for the third time since January. There were over 21 schools that had state police, fire marshals, local police all deployed because of bomb threats that were being called in. There were some in the Boston area, Boston suburbs. It was a robocall that was sent out to all of these schools. We are now talking about 45 just in the past 4 months, where we have a situation of schools being completely evacuated and or on lockdown. That's crazy.
Do we know which 12-year-old is doing this yet?
No idea. I just don't understand how they can't trace these phone calls or how this has not stopped.
Probably because he's using an iPhone 5C and they don't have the $1 million to pay the hackers to crack it.
True.
Right? We will find out that it is a 12 to 14-year-old boy.
I just figured everybody wanted to go to opening day on Monday and all these kids had the same idea.
Okay, let's see. Meldonium.
Meldonium. It's a metal.
No.
Meldonium? What is it?
The World Anti-Doping Association announced today that meldonium that was taken before March 1st will not count toward bans for professional athletes, potentially allowing Maria Sharapova to return to tennis ahead of the 2016 Olympics.
But also in her situation, we were talking about where she has taken it for over how many years? 14 years?
It doesn't matter because they're on a technicality with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe...
Basically, it's like a speed. It brings up your heart rate, boosts metabolism, gives you an edge over any other player.
Yeah. And I've told everybody my conspiracy theory on this, which is that pressure is being brought to bear against Russian athletes because there were 40 Russian athletes that were affected by this ban, basically to humiliate Russia ahead of the 2016 Olympics. Now that the 2016 Olympics is in severe jeopardy and we're looking at the possibilities that people might not go... Oh, what's more important? Do we need to save the Olympics or do we need to humiliate Russia? I see a lot of politics at play in this because this is a very sudden reversal.
Well, continually month after month, we were talking about different doping scandals that were going on. Conveniently, the people that were being, you know, brought forward were
over and over again.
Russian
it's the
athletes
Russians, because
and they were being banned from the games
because no other nation in the world dopes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the conspiracy angle on this comes in. The Russians are not the only ones who are doping. Everyone is doping. All professional athletes are taking performance-enhancing drugs.
And we still maintain the stance that we believe that all athletes should dope, and it would make a far more exciting...
Dope yourself to the gills. Yeah. Die when you're 25. Leave behind an amazing athletic legacy. I will be happy.
Sure.
I will be a happy fan. And I am a horrible human being for feeling that way. I am a bad person because I believe that. But if it's what everybody's doing... And by the way...
Let everybody do it.
I know that not every athlete on the planet is taking drugs. There's like two guys in the minors that are clean.
So but there's a lot that haven't gotten caught.
Yeah, everybody's taking drugs. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me that the Tour de France is clean.
Essentially, you spend the same amount of time at practice trying to find an edge.
Yeah.
The game. That's sports. That's professional sports. When it's that much money on the line, that's what you do. All right, last one to you. Danny Willett.
Danny Willett. I saw this one too. I'm just coming up with nothing tonight.
Well, I'm sticking with the sports theme. He is your new master golf tournament champion.
That's right. He won now, over the thing because Spieth just...
Yeah, another big story.
Spieth kept knocking it into the water.
Falling apart. Donald Trump actually also commented on Spieth's stumble down the stretch and saying that it was one of the biggest chokes that he had seen in sports. Thank you, Donald Trump.
Did he call Jordan Spieth a loser?
Loser.
If he didn't call him a loser, I'm disappointed. I expect more from Donald Trump. Okay. Maybe one of us will get one of these tonight because I think I got one. That's where we stand right now. I got out of five, I got one.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I know this. So there is, very much like last year with, I think it was Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
Verse the song Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
That is basically what is
going
on.
Alan Thicke and Pharrell.
Alan Thicke. Robin Thicke. You always say that. Stairway to Heaven is they're saying Led Zeppelin stole parts of that from Taurus's... I don't know the name of the song, but it's a Taurus song.
You got enough. I'll take that. Because, yes, the estate of one of the members of Taurus...
And it is very similar.
...is suing Led Zeppelin in a U.S. court. Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, among others, are being sued by the estate of Randy Wolfe, formerly known as Randy California, who is a songwriter for Spirit. Now, they maintain that Led Zeppelin stole the guitar intro on Stairway to Heaven,
which is
from their song,
one of the greatest songs.
Jimmy Page says, I never heard it. Spirit says, we played three festivals with you guys. We think you did. Now, there is nothing to prove, just because you're on a festival bill with Led Zeppelin, that Led Zeppelin heard you, because Jimmy was probably like getting hammered in his trailer.
Hammered so many drugs.
And playing his guitar
all
and messing
LSD.
Around. Yeah, he was doing all the acid. But when you hear this, you start to recognize that, yeah, there's more than some passing similarities between this and Stairway to Heaven. This part of it is just the intro, and we will get to the juicy bits in a minute. I don't know why rock doesn't sound like this anymore. Although this wasn't rock, this is acid rock.
This is psychedelic, yeah.
Yeah.
These shrooms are good, man.
That's the section in question. But I will tell you that you can hear that particular progression in a large number of rock and roll songs. You can also hear it on Pink Floyd,
it's
The Wall.
too similar. And in the way that they actually have come out and said a musician, a producer can be awarded monetary value is if you can prove that the average person would listen to that song and can't tell the difference. Yeah. It is too similar.
The other thing I'll say is that George Harrison lost a lawsuit to the Chiffons for a song that sounded less similar than that. So good luck, Led Zepp. Hope you got your checkbooks out. 617-627-3800. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Monday's tax day, kids. Not Friday. You got until Monday to get those taxes in. And as we do every year, we give you a little audio guide to what Uncle Sam will be doing with your hard-earned tax dollars almost as soon as you file your return. This is WMFO Medford.
But this song, for the most part, is a true story. In a quiet lab back in old D.C., there's a man who works for an agency in what some would say is a mighty strange career. He takes a bottle of ketchup and pours it out real slow. Then he uses his watch to see how fast it will flow. And the government pays him $70,000 a year. It sometimes comes out fast, and it sometimes comes out slow, and it helps the time to pass when he listens to the radio. And sometimes when he's really bored, he'll pretend he's Captain Kirk. This is your tax dollars at work. Slow for the space program, so they asked for a $250,000 grant to send a sweet potato to outer space. And at Washington University, some professors got a federal subsidy to observe the way that earthworms defecate. Sometimes comes out fast, and it sometimes comes out slow. And what these guys are trying to find, heaven only knows. I wonder how we'll benefit from the fruits of this research. This is your tax dollars at work. Expended funds to the Pentagon so they could buy a $2,000 John or a coffee pot for the price of a Monet. And Andre Serrano got his start by buying a bucket and calling it art and receiving $30,000 from the NEA. Subsidize some artsy-fartsy fecal fetish jerk. It's all your tax dollars at work. And for several weeks, Congress went on hold for a filibuster on gun control by the Republicans and some Democrats from the South. Well, instead of paying 20 million bills, buying fertilizer for their district's fields, we should use the stuff that comes out of their mouth. And it sometimes comes out fast, and it sometimes comes out slow. And all the while, the government payroll is shelling out tons of dough. Whether it's a two-faced hack or the postman gone berserk, it's all your tax dollars at work. And in Washington, they've got limousines
while they say they feel our pain. But the mayor doesn't feel anything, 'cause he's smoking crack cocaine. I never knew that sex and drugs was a governmental perk. It's all your tax dollars at work. This is your tax dollars at work.
The fallout resulting from nuclear detonation or the flying debris could kill you in seconds. That's air pollution. But man's deliberate pollution of the air he breathes will take a little longer. Words to think about from the sportsmen in your area and the National Rifle Association of America.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture. He's Derek Curry and I'm Lisa Nichols. And we are here with you every Wednesday night from 7 to 9. And join us and call in. You can do that by giving us a call. 617-627-3800. Now, if in the recent past few weeks we haven't talked about how much of a hot mess Brazil is.
Oh, boy.
Basically, Brazil, you could say that they are on the brink of a breakdown. Dilma Rousseff was the current president. You know, she's been breathing out a series of threats to her presidency for months now. This is all being circled by a little thing that we know here in America as government corruption.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, hundreds of thousands of people have taken to the street against her impeachment. Basically, you know, it also stems from the corruption of this company called Petrobras, where she at one time served as chairperson. Petrobras is the country's leading distributor of oil. One problem, there was a lot of people involved in the government that were getting kickbacks, that were had their hand in this company.
$3 billion worth of kickbacks and corruption, to be sure, while Dilma Rousseff was the chair of Petrobras.
Mm-hmm.
So
in either it would almost be like,
either she's the one innocent person in the room and had no idea what was going on, or she is as corrupt as everyone else, or she looked the other way while all the corruption was going on. When you look at the general level of corruption in Brazil, one would assume that the president has a pretty good handle on some of the dirty deals that have happened, because that may be part of how you get to be president of Brazil, is now, knowing where all the bodies are buried.
We're basically, it's a perfect storm of scandal. You have also one of the worst recessions we've seen in this country in a century, a massive health crisis that is the Zika virus that we talk a lot about. But you have, it's one crisis after another, and essentially you have a country that in a few months is hosting one of the biggest and most expensive sporting events in the world. Will this actually happen? Will the Rio Olympics 2016 take place?
Well, let's see what we've got. There's going to be an impeachment vote in the lower house of parliament, which needs a majority to pass. I think it's a two-thirds majority to pass. And as of yesterday, Two more political groups broke ties with Dilma Rousseff's government, which is making that look like more and more of a certainty.
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to the lower house. They said more than likely Friday into Saturday they are going to be voting. It's not looking too good for her.
So if the lower house moves to open, what they do is they open impeachment proceedings. At that point, it's not like the United States where you can just hang around and wait for the decision. She is removed from office, and the vice president of Brazil will take over.
Now, Derek, if I'm correct, the vice president is actually involved in this as well, this scandal.
He is also accused of being part of the Petrobras kickback and bribery scandal.
Okay, well, the third person in command must be better, right?
That would be lower house speaker Eduardo Cunha, who is facing money laundering charges.
Yeah, so the third in command, his charges are actually worse than the first and second combined.
Yes. So
essentially, we're looking at a couple years of some disruption.
Pele might be available to be the president for a while.
People love him.
Everybody loves Pele. And you know, let Pele be the president. But what will this process takes 6 months. So if they move to impeach, she is removed from office, and you will have somebody running the government down there who may immediately be kicked out on corruption charges. The next person in line may be kicked out on corruption charges, which means there may not be an actual functioning government in Brazil when the Olympics take place.
No, and you know, when Brazil was actually booming in 2009, Rio de Janeiro won its bid for the upcoming Olympics. Everything was great. But now you have this country that has political scandal going on, has no money. You have thousands of people that are closing their businesses. They just can't survive. You also have a budget deficit that was 3% during the boom years. It's now doubled in 2014.
Oh, more than that. 10.4%
of gross domestic product. Year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
9% inflation.
If there's any positive light, you know, we're not in a situation where we're like in Greece. Brazil has its own currency, so it can borrow its own, but
yeah,
it's a lot of unrest going on.
They float their currency on the international markets, so they've got very, very strong foreign reserves, and they can absorb some of this in much the same way that China does.
But also, you have investors, and they're saying that they want these rates between 14 and 16%. When we're floating around 6%, not happening. Investors are pulling out. You're now going to have global, you know, instability within the market.
Brazil doesn't have investors anymore. The investors have left. They're looking at that country and they're saying, this is a mess. So you've got political instability, which is going to get worse. You've got public unrest, which has been getting worse, although it's Brazilian public unrest, so it's really just another kind of big street party.
I was going to say, you don't know if it's a party or actually
they're
pissed about
something. There was a picture, I think, on the front page of the Financial Times this morning that showed dancers that looked like they were heading to carnival going to a protest.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wearing these beautiful costumes. But that's protesting in Brazil, is we're going to go dance in front of parliament with a million people for a few hours and let them know we're unhappy. It's not like Iceland, where everybody comes down and throws eggs and herring at parliament until the prime minister resigns. Or 10,000 people throw eggs and herring until the prime minister resigns. So that's bad. On top of this, you have, because the real story here isn't just the unrest in Brazil, it's the 2016 Olympics. And nobody really wants to talk about this.
And this isn't an everyday sporting event that's just happening. We're the Olympics.
The final inspection from the International Olympic Committee took place a couple of days ago. And they said, it looks good. All the venues are expected to be ready. Velodrome's a little behind schedule. Mm-hmm. The aquatic center's done. The main stadium's done.
So is it not like Sochi where there are no bathroom doors?
The equestrian venue isn't quite finished, but those are things that they think they'll have fixed.
Mm-hmm.
The subway that they were building to connect the eastern and western venues, they don't think is going to be ready on time. So Brazil is now developing a plan to use buses to get people back and forth, which with Brazil's traffic will not work. So London 20...
And will not be enjoyable, you know, Brazil, shades, summertime.
Yeah, shades of London 2012 all over again. The bay, where all of the aquatic events will be taking place, is still full of bacteria that is harmful to human beings. And they are expecting that people competing in rowing and sailing events will be bringing full wetsuits, wearing gloves, and dipping their oars in bleach.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're basically talking about fecal matter.
To minimize...
polluting the entire bay.
To minimize the chances of infection. Those are things that are going to be going on. No one is talking about this. The International Olympic Committee isn't saying a word about this. One thing that we did hear is that they've only sold half of the tickets for the Olympics. They've only sold 10% of the tickets for the Paralympics.
How about we're talking about women athletes being told, don't go because of the Zika virus. You're going to be here for 2 weeks in the country that this is all started from, where it is infecting hundreds of thousands of women.
In the interest of preserving privacy, I won't mention her name, but I am aware of a former U.S. Olympian who is not going to Brazil for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. She would have been going this time as a coach and said, no, I am childbearing age. We're trying to have a family. Not going near it. Today, rather quietly, at least as far as the mainstream media is concerned, Vijay Singh announced that he will not be attending the Brazil Olympics, citing Zika as a reason for not going. So it's not looking good for this Olympics.
What is it? It's the second week in July. It's third week.
No, it's August.
Oh, August.
It's okay. August 3rd
so
to
21st. So we're now looking at May, June, July, August. 4 months.
Yeah.
I will put money on it right now. I will guarantee it. Every single week, you will see more and more bigger name athletes coming out and refusing to go. Then what happens?
It's tough. Because for these athletes, you've spent the last 4 years of your life getting ready for this. You know, if you're Michael Phelps, you can say, well, I'm going to be in the aquatic center. I don't have to go swim in the sewage out in the harbor.
Mosquitoes probably won't be able to get in.
I can hide from the mosquitoes for a few days and compete. So you've got that overwhelming urge to go out there and show the world that you're the best versus practical health concerns. The bigger problem that this Olympics faces, I think, more so than athletes, although you may see a lot of young female athletes who say, I'm not going to take the risk. The bigger problem is getting enough people to show up to go to these games. Now, Brazil's making the excuse that, oh, Brazilians don't buy tickets in advance. Okay.
Come on.
Maybe that's a cultural thing. But you know what? Brazilians don't have any money either. Brazilians don't have jobs. I don't know if they can even afford the tickets. Somebody said the mayor of Rio is going to buy 1.5 million tickets and give them to the school kids. That's not going to happen now.
Oh.
Because they can't afford it.
I was going to say.
So the chances of...
They have this, you know, kind of fantasy land of what the people of the area are actually... We're talking about slums.
Yeah.
Right outside of the Olympic Village, it's slums. You think that... you know, pay discrepancies in the United States where the 1% compared to everybody else is bad. Look at Brazil. It is out of control.
There are still people in Brazil, in the government, and in particular on the Olympic Organizing Committee down there, who believe that this Olympics will turn things around. That this is going to be the moment that everything starts getting better for Brazil. Sitting here right now, it is difficult for me to picture that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes this WADA decision on Meldonium and the Russian athletes all the more interesting, because now that the International Olympic Committee has signed off, we're past the point of no return. There is a Brazil Olympics or there is no Olympics at all. And as I said in the last segment,
it's not like you can just pack up and go to another city. These are countries that spend years and years. Regardless of what the money situation is in Brazil, for the most part, all the money is already in where it's supposed to be. Half of the stadiums are done and completed, so it's ready to go for the most part.
Assuming nothing collapses, including society.
But you have to get to a point in saying, is it worth it? Now, when people don't go, don't buy tickets, what happens to the surrounding areas? Well, people don't book hotel rooms because it's not just Brazilians that go to the Olympic Games or whatever host city is doing it. People fly in from, this is the Olympics. People from around the world go. Well, if nobody's going, we have restaurants not being filled. We have hotels not being filled. The city actually does not make money.
No. Well, it's arguable whether or not the city makes money, even if the games are a success.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we've had that argument many times in discussing whether it would be a good idea if Boston had the Olympics in 2024.
This may be the final nail in the coffin of the Summer Olympics. If this thing doesn't come off, or if this thing loses a lot of money and is poorly attended, they're going to have to change the way that the Olympics work. They're either going to have to make it smaller, or they're going to have to find a permanent venue, as I've suggested numerous
times. So many times. One designated Winter Olympic venue, one designated Summer Olympic venue.
But something has to change, and right now, for Brazil, it does not look good. 617-627-3800. When we come back, our favorite stories from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week, we hope if we get to them, if Lisa doesn't talk all night long, right here on WMFO Medford.
Oh, it's me.
Okay,
right?
Gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag? It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
Welcome back to The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite story from this week's news. I like to always bring you, whether it be, you know, leading news on craft beer or events going on in the city, restaurants. Really, really cool thing, and this is actually happening tomorrow night. You ever want to go to the Children's Museum? Actually, if you try to go to the Children's Museum without a child, they make you wear a lanyard that says childless visitor.
If I try to go to the Children's Museum, they say, sir, you're on a list. You're
Here's
not
a really
allowed
fun
to be
thing.
Here.
Maybe Derek won't be as interested, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be, especially tough students. This is called Boston's Grown-Up Museum. It's big kids night out, 21 plus. They actually do something very similar to this at the Lego store. And so this is taking place. You can go to bostongrownupsmuseum.eventbrite.com, and that is in the Seaport area, so right near my work. 6 to 9 tomorrow night. They actually do it a couple times during the summer, too. The theme for tomorrow, which I really like, it has to do with Fenway and baseball and kind of just coming back into baseball season. So there's a lot of things from fast speed pitch. So it's almost like a carnival meets, you know, adult playground. There is booze there if you don't have a more of a reason to go. They have, you know, cornhole games. Also, the Jenga sets that are very popular, those giant ones. So definitely go out and check it. It's only $15. Very, very cool event. Something, you know, that you don't normally get to be involved in because, well, you look weird if you go to the Children's Museum by yourself at our age.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Sounds like a good time.
It's a millennial thing. I'm sorry, Derek.
Oh, you can't be over 40.
Oh, it's a millennial.
It's only
thing.
For
yeah, you would look weird being there.
This is bad because our computer has crashed, which means I can't pull anything up right now. This has never happened before, by the way. Linux is supposed to be immune to the crashing powers of the Dallas Morning News, but apparently advertising technology has progressed to a point where it can crash anything. So congratulations, spammers, you've won. You like books? Mm-hmm. Everybody likes books. You know what you don't like? Having books all over the house. Nobody wants a lot of books around. They just like, look at all these books. So you get yourself Kindle. There is a new Kindle coming. It is the lightest Kindle that has ever been made. It weighs about 3.5 ounces. It is the thinnest Kindle that they have ever made. Very comfortably, like, sits in your hand and was designed to transfer its center of gravity into your hand. It has a touch screen so that you can now flip, swipe to flip pages rather than pressing buttons to flip pages. And it has an exciting new price tag of $279.99.
Incredibly reasonable.
Yeah, incredibly high.
Really?
Yeah, because...
I thought Kindles and, you know, the Nooks, they were in that, like, $300 range.
The Paperwhite was, which is one of their most popular models, was only $120.
Really?
So this is coming as a...
Did prices go down as a recent, or... I mean, because they've been out for...
No, this is coming as like a rather huge amount of sticker shock for Kindle fans. But that's sort of the tendency with
shows
technology now.
Shows how much up-to-date I am, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still... You know, the interesting thing about this is...
Look at how much cell phones are now, though. I mean, my last cell phone was $850. That's insane.
Yeah. It's a loss leading piece of technology that's supposed to sell books, but yeah, I'm sure they're selling it at a loss, but they're not selling it at much of one.
Mm-hmm.
And people apparently are willing to pay for this thing, so you know, good for them.
Now, on average, how much are we talking about for the books?
The
that
books
you purchase
the
on
book prices are going to be the same as they are now. They give out a lot of free books on that service, and they get a lot of cheap books on that service. So you can get a lot of books into that small space. People who own them love them. And we'll probably flock to buy this one.
Does it have a larger storage?
No, not particularly, but the old ones had a tremendous amount of storage. This one, interestingly, has a second battery. One that's stored, you've got the one that you're using and then another one that you can charge and store inside the case so that you can swap them out. And Amazon maintains you can get 9 weeks of reading out of those two batteries. So.
So if you just can't put down.
Yeah. Keep reading. Where's your
head at? As we end the show every week, it's time for the thing that's the thing that happened, the craziest news story that we could find from this week's news, Florida. A woman arrested for cocaine possession told Florida jailers that the crack pipe found in her vagina was not her property, but rather she was storing the drug paraphernalia for a friend. Tiffany Flores, 23, was arrested Tuesday afternoon following a traffic stop in Felsmere, city just north of Vero Beach, where Flores resides. Flores was a passenger in the vehicle stopped, confessed to the ownership of a bag of small bag of cocaine that the cop had found on the roadway directly beside the passenger doorframe, according to an arrest affidavit. Upon arriving at the county jail, Flores claimed that she could not go through the scanner since she was pregnant. But after a pregnancy test showed negative results, quote, jail staff processed Flores through the body scanner. That is when officers noticed an object located inside of Flores' vaginal area. She subsequently retrieved a clear cylindrical tube containing a burnt end and gave it to the cops. But the crack pipe was not hers, explained Flores, who said that the item was owned to a female friend who was driving the car. That's what friends are for, hiding each other's crack pipes in body orifices.
Absolutely. I would have something for you this week, except...
Computer crashed.
The computer crashed. And there's no way to reboot this thing without taking our show off the air. So we're going to have to wait another week for it. And I promise you, it is 100% worth the wait.
Well, I'm actually not going to be here next week. So
you may or may not be here next week.
I am? Oh, God.
Ah, there we go. I've gotten us back to... Oh, great. Yeah.
Is it back?
We're
Did
back.
Did you ruin it more?
We're back to a login screen.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to have to figure this one out off the air. But that is pretty much the time that we have this week anyway. I promise you, I have a great, great, great thing that happened. Oh, we're rebooting now. This is good. I think it's uploading automatically, but it or updating automatically, but it won't do it fast enough for us to get to that thing this week.
Next week.
Next week. You'll get it. I promise. Computer's rebooting.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, did you do it on purpose?
So this is, I did.
Okay, that's fine.
Hopefully
I
it...
Bob to say, let's try to get this done wicked quick.
Hopefully it reboots. I mean, everything else here is working. We just can't log anything.
Because we do have a show on after us.
Yes, On the Town with Mikey D is coming up next, and trying to broadcast without a computer is going to be tons and tons and tons of fun for them.
Old school!
I swear to God, I didn't do it. I open up the Dallas Morning News, and all of a sudden, the whole thing goes haywire.